Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm fine. Sun's been out most of the week, and you know how I like the sun. The llamas like it, but we have a new baby llama.
What?
I mean, these llamas just keep producing.
Really?
Yep.
Well, then,
one
happy.
Of the pretty brown ones.
Wow.
Had a baby this week. I wasn't expecting it right now. I knew she was going to have one, but I thought we had some time. And apparently we did not have any time. She just decided to have it right in the middle of the day.
Apparently so. Wow, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Oh, my gosh.
Well, did you have cake and ice cream and celebrate the
no,
birth?
No, we didn't. I kept telling them, we've got too many babies now. So they've got to go to the nursery.
Oh, wow. I was just fixing to say, didn't you
I think we've had two this spring already.
Oh, my word.
Now, remember, I fixed the male, but remember, it takes a long time for him to have a baby.
Yeah.
So, you know, this happened a long time ago. It didn't just happen. I mean, you know, we were a little prepared. We've had the vet out doing things. But, you know, it just somehow it just didn't get done early enough.
Apparently a little too late.
That's right.
Wow.
They were busy. They're always busy.
Yeah.
And, you know, this week the neighbor's goats got out, came over. The donkey got out, and he came over, you know. And us and the neighbors, you know, they visit each other, and I don't understand it. And we have one llama that likes to go over to their house. He loves the donkeys. So, it's musical chairs.
It's a very animal-friendly game of musical chairs.
It really is. And, you know, all these people have all these weird animals. Thank goodness we don't have the turtle and we don't have the other things that everybody's got.
Oh, yeah. And who knows? Maybe the turtle was on his way to come over and hang out, too. It's just he's so slow. He hasn't got there yet.
Well, you know, the turtle that's missing this week's name's George.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, George is missing. And they showed a picture of George. And then the other thing. This lady wants to rehome her snake.
What?
That's going too far.
Wow.
Can you believe she has a snake
and
wants to rehome him?
No.
I just see somebody saying, oh, sure, send your snake over. We'll take it.
Yeah. I don't believe I'd have a snake in the house because what happens if you're
I
sleeping?
I would not have one even in a mall of my house.
No. No.
You know?
I don't like him inside or
put out all these granules. To keep them away. We put granules out around the house, down at the pond, everywhere, to keep things like that from happening.
And her snake, well, you better hope then her snake didn't come over to your place and is hiding in the brush somewhere.
And, you know, there's been a lot of these foxes sighted. And these are not red foxes. These are kind of a gray fox.
Really?
And they're real nice. They haven't bothered anybody. And then the other lady, her doves just hatched, and so she's got a little bitty dove, a little bird.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah, I mean, and we haven't heard from the canaries this week, so I guess they're still at home. They haven't got lost this week. But can you imagine the baby rabbits last week? They found them.
Oh, did they really?
The mother deserted them, so they had to figure out what do you do with a baby rabbit.
Wow.
And a lot of these are city people. They don't know what to do.
They're city folk. They don't know about animals and creatures.
They don't know about that we've got all these wild animals living among us, you know.
I bet if they're looking at the next door and all the apps and the police blotter and all the places where people get information from, I bet they're probably thinking they must have moved to the Twilight Zone.
Well, they probably will. If anybody would go on next door, they would be shocked.
Yeah.
Well, they'll find every kind of animal in the world. You know, the rabbits, the roosters, the chickens. And that one lady was so upset. You know, the cow had gotten into her hen house. And she was just, she was upset, mad. And I've never heard of a cow coming and, you know, getting close enough to get their chickens when, when it's this close of people, you know. If it was out on a big old farm, yes, but not in town.
Having cows in the chicken coop, it sounds like a Chick-fil-A commercial to me, is what I'm
thinking. It could be, you know. And everybody sells eggs, you know. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. The neighbors, my neighbor sells eggs, and we give her our cartons, and she'll give us some eggs back, you know.
Oh.
But people have duck eggs for sale. They have, you know, I don't know what kind they are, but they're kind of gray-looking eggs. I've never seen them before.
Oh, I don't know.
So I don't know what kind of chickens they've got, but they're gray eggs.
Well, somebody needs to start making green eggs and sell some ham with them.
I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Dr. Seuss would be right at home here in this place.
Gray eggs and ham is not good. Don't go there. Don't eat that.
That's right. Well, I don't know how he made his green.
I don't know.
You know, now the FDA is fixing to take all this dye out of our food, which I think is a good idea.
Oh, really?
None of us knew that some of these dyes cause ADHD in kids and things. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
And that's what they're saying now. And they're going to take that red and yellow out. Those are the culprits.
Really?
And the smuckers said they're going to quit using dye in the preserves. I didn't even know they were.
Me neither.
I thought it was all natural. That's how naive I am.
Well, I'm like you. I thought the same thing.
Huh. Yeah. And the candy companies said they'll take it out. Probably 30 or 40 companies said by 27 they'll have all the dyes out.
Really? Well, that kind of makes me wonder what we've been eating all these years.
It's kind of scary to know that now they're saying, yeah, we knew about those dyes, but everybody liked the color, so we left it in.
Wow. Oh, my. That's worrisome.
Whoa. Yeah, and the cereal companies, they're taking it out of that cereal.
Oh.
So you know that this stuff must not be good for us, or they'd have fought it.
Well, maybe all our food then will go from bright and colorful to kind of like that man's eggs, and they'll all be gray. Everything will be gray.
It may be a little different color, but I did not know, you know, that this red and yellow dye was bad for children.
No, I had no idea.
And I don't know about the others. They didn't say how bad they were. They're just saying they're willing to take them out.
Huh. Wow.
They're supposed to be putting natural dyes in, something that's natural.
Well, why weren't...
like a fruit juice or, you know, coloring or something.
Why weren't they doing that before?
I don't know. if everybody's got enough diseases, we'll find out.
Wow.
we'll find out.
Yeah, we will.
If we start getting too healthy.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think that could happen to us?
No, we're not going to get too healthy anytime.
Oh, and there's something they put in ice cream.
What?
You remember years ago, ice cream was kind of shiny all the time?
Yeah.
And that's what they put this stuff in it where it wouldn't be shiny. So now they've got to figure out a way to take that out.
Really?
It isn't good for us either.
Well, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't know they put a lot of stuff in our ice cream. I thought it was all natural.
Yeah, I did too.
That's how naive I am.
Wow.
But it tastes good, so I wasn't worried.
I was fixing to petition that ice cream become an actual legitimate food group. I think it is. It is.
I mean, I have it all the time, so I naturally thought it was.
Yeah. Ice cream fixes everything. You have a sore throat, eat some ice cream. You'll feel better. Guaranteed.
You will immediately, yes.
Yeah.
And if you can't find anything to eat in the refrigerator, go down below and get in the deep freeze and get some ice cream.
Yeah. In fact, sometimes I start in the deep freeze, and then whatever's left over, I may have some eggs or something after. But ice cream always is the main event for any meal.
I think it should be.
Yeah.
In fact, people should start their meal with that. Then if they're still hungry, eat something else.
Yeah, there you go. See, now that is a good, healthy diet that everybody should follow.
I think so.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, anyway, I want to bring up the flooding and all the deaths of the children, all the adults. We've had deaths in Midland, Odessa, not only in Kerrville and Hunt, but all over because of this flooding. There's over 100 people, you know, that have passed away, a lot of little children. So our thoughts and prayers are with everyone involved, everyone that has a child that's passed away, or a mother or a father, and some of them was whole families. And I know that in Texas, it'll be years and years before we forget this or get over it.
Oh, yeah.
So our prayers are with all these families, and everybody can donate. There's about four places you can donate to, Kerr County, a whole bunch of different ones, the Red Cross. There's several right there in that county that are taking donations for food and shelter. Mm. A lot of people, you know, their homes washed away.
Oh, yeah. Like intact, so like down the river.
They don't even have homes now.
I know it.
So, and it's the cleanup from all this will take a long, long time.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
So the people are displaced and, you know, a lot of them, everything's gone.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people's cars, pickups, their RVs are gone. So it's a hard time in Texas.
It is.
The Texans are tough, toughest people in the world, and everybody's going to help.
Yeah. I mean, it is nice to see at least people coming together, even, you know, people that don't know anybody in particular that was affected. You know, people from other states, I think, have even, you know, sent people.
Yes, other states have sent people.
What is it, like
a thousand? In all over Texas, firefighters have went.
Yeah.
That chef company, Chefs Without Borders, they're there. The Mexicans sent people from Mexico. I don't know if they were firefighters or what. And then there was a lot of people that do under swimming that are experts on locating people in water. They have arrived. And then they've got two water crafts. And the president, you know, immediately ordered the big helicopters to help them. And that helped a lot. They've rescued a ton of people. I believe 200-something people have been rescued.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we still, you know, are not through.
No. No.
So everybody's, and they're working day and night with little sleep, little food. And they said that, you know, they need the donations of food and other things right now.
Yeah. Hasn't there been like something like 1,000 people that are like on site helping in some way? The number was huge from what I remember. So it's just, you know, I mean, it's a terrible thing. And it's so sad because, you know, summertime vacation camp season was just starting. It's sad enough when adults go through something like this, but then to have so many children, that's what makes it, that's what always, you know, tugs at your heartstrings, and, you know, because they are so young. And so it is nice to see out of a tragedy like this, so many people coming together to help, you know, that aren't even, you know, from here. So that at least kind of restores your faith in humanity a little bit.
It does. You know, and Texans are different than anybody in the world. They always help their neighbors. They help people they don't know. I know over the years, lots of people have helped total strangers. And the families of some of these people have told, especially this one person over in Odessa, everybody's talked about he's helped people all of his life. And he would give you the shirt off his back. And he was always ready to help a friend or even a stranger.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the Texas way. A stranger, they would help a stranger as much as they would their next-door neighbor. And it's just going to take a long time to rebuild, to restore them, to restore the families. And everybody can help, I think, for a long time and get everything back like it was. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
But I know everybody's going to help, like you say. There's people from every state, I guess, there. And they said they didn't need any more help. They had so much help now.
Yeah. And, you know, and it affected so many people, not just people, you know, in that general area. I mean, there's, like you said, there's people, you know, here in Midland and in Odessa that were that have been affected by this. And so, you know, it was such a, and I didn't realize, I guess, that the camp itself had been so legendary. Is like the people that had gone there in the past and attended. I guess I didn't realize exactly the alum. I don't know if that's the right word.
I mean, and I had forgot that the Johnson girls went there.
Yeah.
Laura Bush went there. Laura Bush's daughter's grandchildren, Laura Bush's granddaughters have been going there now. It reads like who's who. Several big stars, their children went there.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept reading over and over about people who, you know, had children there. In Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, they all had children there. And then a lot of out-of-state people, they're famous, that we wouldn't even think about, would be coming to Texas.
Yeah.
They said they grew up here. And so then they wanted their children to go to Camp Mystic because it's a Christian girls' camp.
Yeah.
But I didn't know they were letting them go so young. My children did not go to camp till they were 10.
Yeah.
And some of these little girls were 6 and 7.
I mean, it's...
So apparently nowadays they have been letting them go earlier. And I'm hoping and praying there will be a flood warning system soon in the all over the Hill Country to prevent this from ever happening again.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people saying things like, you know, we need to use this as you know, some kind of a learning opportunity so that these people's passing doesn't happen in vain and so that this doesn't happen again. Something needs to be done. And I think...
Hopefully it'll never happen again.
Yeah.
And they said, I read, that they asked for a warning system for a grant. They were turned down twice.
Wow.
They were asking for a grant from your state government to help them put the system in. They knew what they needed, and they've given them the design, everything, but they had been turned down twice.
Wow. That's...
But our governor has been on site twice, as you know.
Yeah. So... Boy, it's sad when you see, you know, this happening and just how fast it happened and just, I mean, just to watch the water rise like that. Just
30 foot in 45 minutes.
Unheard of. I mean, it's
30
just,
foot.
Wow.
I can't even, none of us can even imagine that.
I know it. I mean, just
30 foot in 45 minutes. It was coming fast. And one guy said that years ago his dad taught him that if you're ever in raging water, to hold your breath and that the lake will send you back up.
Yeah.
That if you're holding your breath underwater, that you will float back up.
Hmm.
And he said he had to do it.
Wow. You know, it's just...
So I've never been in that circumstance.
No, I haven't either. And I can't even imagine. I've seen the videos, but it's still not even the same of being in the middle of it.
Oh, it's not as bad as right if you'd been right there.
Yeah.
But anyway, we want everybody to do their best and help as much as they can.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously our prayers are with everybody affected.
That's right.
And it does affect... Yeah,
everybody needs to pray for the next year or two.
Yeah.
You know, don't stop praying just because it gets better.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully
it won't get better for these families for a long, long time.
Oh, I know. This is not something that's going to, quote, go away overnight. So it's just hopefully that, you know, something good will come out of it and, you know, there'll be some warning systems put in place, improvements will be in place to save lives in the future. So...
Well, we hope so.
Yeah, we can only hope. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And I want to give you the fleece blotter. I don't want you to miss that this week.
No, I don't want to miss. I can't wait for this because this is always a juicy nugget.
Okay. Officers responded to a foul situation involving a goose in a bind.
Oh, geez.
The goose had been tangled with twine near a drainage ditch. Our officer arrived and was able to cut the goose free. I mean, here, that's a big deal. Then we had a raccoon. He tried to get an early move-in date on a new-built house. He was found hiding in the rafters when animal control arrived.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, he was going to do an early move-in.
Oh, wow.
And then we had a notorious canine escape artist. He made a dash for freedom, slipped out the front door the moment his owner went to grab a delivery. The jailhouse was short-lived, though. The pup was recaptured and returned home before officers could get their leashes untangled.
I would think this is all like made-up stories, but you can't make up things like this.
No, I'm telling you, you could read it on their police blotter. And then some residents got a surprise special delivery. A row of 7 mailboxes were hit by a vehicle, sending mail and car parts everywhere.
Oh, no.
Do you think it was a woman driver by any chance?
No comment. I'm not going there.
She probably stepped on the foot feet instead of the brake.
Oh, my word.
You just don't know, you know. Oh, my gosh. She was probably looking the other way.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, they're always hitting mailboxes out here.
Oh, really? That's a thing.
Yeah, I'm always seeing this. It'll show, they'll post the picture of their mailbox and say, some nut hit my mailbox. And, you know, if you see them, if you saw anything, tell me who it was.
Wow.
That isn't going to happen.
Golly, maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's something we're not aware of. Of course, now, it could be people just not paying attention. You know, I've seen people do things like put on makeup while they're driving. I've seen people shave their face while they're driving.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Not shaving. I've never seen that happen.
Oh, I have.
I have seen ladies putting their makeup on.
I've seen people do all kind of things. And so, wow.
You know, years ago, we were going down the freeway in Oklahoma, and there was a guy reading a book while he was driving.
What? Really?
He actually had the book up on the steering wheel.
You?
Now, I don't know how far he went before he hit somebody. We sped off.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be near somebody that's reading a book while they're driving.
No, get as far away from that as you can.
That's right, because, you know, he ain't going to last long.
Yeah.
Maybe to the next exit or something.
Yeah. And I always, when I see things, I know I've never seen anybody read a book while they're driving, but anybody who's driving weird or texting or playing on their phone or whatever, I always try to get in front of them because if you're behind them, you know, and there's something, you run the risk of running into whatever just happened. Like if people run into things and, you know, who knows what, you may end up in a car pileup. And I don't want to do
that. You want to get away from them. That's the thing.
Yes.
You need to go fast, get around them, and go.
Yes. Ooh, that's scary. Reading a book.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that one. That's new to me. Huh. Well, interesting. I've gotten to the point where I don't even touch my phone. I don't even know if my phone is with me half the time. So it's like both hands on the wheel.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've done that before. So I'll walk out of the house and not even know it. But by golly, I'm a safe driver.
Well, I always try to make sure my phone is with me. And I put it on my little charger there. And I always figure it needs an extra charge.
Oh, yeah.
And just lay it right there.
Yeah. Well, and thank God for those, the lane departure thing that beeps when you're, like, getting too close to the lines. Ooh. That's
well,
always...
and mine has a deal where it'll actually pull the steering wheel over.
Yes. It'll.
And I don't like that.
I didn't know what
and
that was.
I told
was.
Them to disengage that thing. I'll make that decision.
Yeah. Boy, it happened the first couple of times, and it did that. It starts to, it's almost like you're driving on ice. It's almost like, what is going, I can't turn the wheel, and it starts to turn away.
That's exactly right. It goes hard on you and pulls you over.
Yeah.
And I think it's dangerous, so I had it disconnected on mine.
Yeah, that terrified me. I didn't know it was a thing. And I'm like, what is happening? So
yeah, I didn't even realize I had that. There's so many gadgets that, you know, you don't always realize what's on there.
I know it. I know it. I don't even think the manufacturer knows everything that's on there. They're so complicated.
And, you know, when you buy a car, they say, can I show you all this? I always go, no, I'll go home and look at it. Let me go home and figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out on my own. I'm not going to pull out a manual, but I'll go drive around and figure out what lights are dinging and and all that.
And, you know, the screen has got so much on it now.
Oh, I know
it. It tells you everything in the world.
Golly, you talk about, I mean, you could, it's almost as bad as reading a book while you're driving when you'd read the dashboard because it's like
That's right.
The gadgets are going off and like numbers are turning and there's things going on. It's almost entertainment. It's too much.
That's right. Sometimes if you're using the map on there, sometimes it'll take you around the dadgum world.
Oh, yeah.
It won't take you direct to anything.
No, no. And I've done that thing before where I didn't know it, but I had the map set to not take me on the interstate, and I didn't know that I did that. And so what should take me, you know, 15 or 20 minutes to get someplace took me an hour and a half, and I'm like, why are you taking me all the round? This is not what I want to do. I don't want to get on the interstate.
When you realize that, if you can get off and redirect that thing.
Yeah. It took me several trips before I figured that one out, so... I should have probably read the manual, but that's what you get when you know.
Yeah, I think
so.
Oh, my gosh.
We better talk about some money before you get calls.
I know. Everybody's going to call and say, tell us something.
Yeah.
Something good. Well, I've had a lot of calls this week, people retiring. So it's summer and people are retiring, and they want to get their house in order. And people said, you know, I'm going to retire on this date, July 1st or whatever. How do we transfer money? We're putting our money with you. And so I've explained to them how it works. They have to get their vacation pay, whatever they've got coming, all that's added up, and then we can transfer it out of there.
Wow.
If it's 401k, they'll make the check out to you, and you come over, you endorse it, and we just put it in the bank. So that's how that works. If it's an IRA, we can do a direct transfer. If you just have an IRA with your company, we can transfer it to Nevada Trust, set the account up, and you're in business, ready to go.
It's easy
now,
and fast.
Some people are going to do it differently. They're going to do two or three things. They're going to do annuities. They're going to do life settlements, you know, several different things. Then they may have a cash account with us or a joint account. And they may have a his and her account. You know, he may have an IRA, she may have an IRA. So there's a lot of ways, and people are doing a lot of accounts right now.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It is.
And these are mostly people that are fixing to retire or just did retire?
They are. They're retiring, and they want to, you know, they can't leave the money where it is. It's 401k. So this 401k is coming over to us, and then it will become an IRA.
Hmm. Okay. And it's just a very easy, simple process.
It's very easy and very simple. They have to add up all your overtime you might have coming, your vacation pay, and then, you know, whatever's already in your 401k, they add it all together. And they'll write you a check, then you endorse it. We put it, you know, wherever it's going. It may, part of it may be going to one company for annuities. The other one may be going, you know, to life settlements. Hmm. And then it may all be going to one investment. I don't know. Everybody does it different.
Is it, because you had mentioned a minute ago that sometimes the husband will do one and then the wife will do one. Is that good? Because I know, and I'm asking this because I know you've had some people in the past that have, say, you know, maybe the husband will come over, start doing life settlements, and then they'll get into, you know, the investment. Maybe the wife doesn't really isn't really involved, maybe doesn't have her own policies, just kind of like going along with it. And then something happens to the husband, the wife not knowing how much money they've been making and how lucrative the investment is, might sometimes get distracted by somebody that calls them on the phone and waves a shiny object at them and says, hey, you can make a whole bunch of money real quick over here. And then sometimes they do. Is that...
That's called... risky investing, and yeah. you may not have enough to go through retirement.
Ugh.
I've had several people talk to me about this. You know, how do you keep from outliving your money? Well, you put it in something conservative where the principal is always safe. You know, if you've got your principal, you can make it through anything. But if you go out here and invest in something like crypto, or you find out it's not a real crypto, you know, then you've lost, and you're not going to make it through. You have to go live with the kids, and nobody wants to do that.
No, not even the kids.
I read this week where these people lost $300,000.
No, really?
Yeah, and I don't know how much the rest of them lost, but they told them there was going to be 300% profit. Oh. Let me tell you something. There is no 300% profit, I don't think, in the whole wide world.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know. If you can get 10 or 8, you're doing good. But
yeah.
For somebody to tell you you're going to make 300% and that it's safe, run the other way.
Yeah, that's almost
don't
one of those.
Don't believe that.
It's almost, that's just too good to be true. And the bells should be going off. Like
should be.
Yeah.
And there was a Vietnamese guy this week in Houston. These people called him. Told him they were with the Treasury or somebody,
oh.
And that they thought there was some fraud on his account, and you've got to transfer it. Well, the man was elderly. He did it. He lost $500,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, unless you know them, unless you know it's your bank, unless you know it's the government, hang up. Just hang up.
Yeah, and people
don't take the risk. I mean, they can talk you out of all your money. Then how are you going to live?
I tell you what, people have gotten really crafty and really tricky with some of their scams. They make them sound very official. They've gotten like official sounding phone numbers. I mean, they have emails. They have, you know, things that come through the post office and, you know, get mailed to your house, and they look official. They've gotten logos. It's really they've gotten very savvy with some of their scams. And so a lot of things, though, will happen, and they look like, oh my gosh, they'll either scare you, or it'll look like, wow, we're going to have this, you know, like you said, 300% return, and it's crazy. The thing is, though, is those types of things are almost always, I think, here today, gone tomorrow. The thing with what you're doing with life settlements and annuities, you have been doing this for a long time. This is far from
like 20-something years.
Yeah, it's a long way from we're just kind of like experimenting with this thing. We think it'll be conservative. We're not really sure. You sure?
So we think it'll work, but we're not sure. No, we would never do that.
No.
So, and the other thing is, don't click on those things that you don't know.
Oh.
If you don't know the person on that, do not click on an email.
Oh yeah.
That's what sends you into their deal.
Oh, I did that once. I should have known better.
Just takes one time.
It does. The wrong
and
time.
And you're scrambling.
Yeah, you
so
are.
So don't do it.
Whew, that's scary.
I'd rather accidentally erase a real email than take the risk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they look so official. You know, it's easy to do. And people aren't always, you know, we get busy and people count on that. We get busy during our day. We're doing 100 different things. We're multitasking. You know, our brain is on vacation and, you know, we're going to think about, you know, whatever. We're going to, you know, we're always thinking about Christmas and, you know, Amazon Prime days and all this. And so we got all these things going on. We see something comes through and we click on it. And it's just like, wow. But the thing is that you, personally, you, Faye Bagby, the person, is always accessible. There's never a question of, is this, you know, a real person? Is this a real email? Is this a real, you know, anything? You are there. You are in person. You take calls.
And they
calls.
Always have my phone number.
They do.
Know.
Yes. And you know a lot of your investors, like you're friends with them. even outside of a...
That's right. A lot of them I am friends with.
Yeah.
Have been for a number of years.
Yeah. And so if people are looking for investments, I guess this is kind of what we're getting at, is that if people are looking for investments, something that they can swing for the fence, be very, very cautious. You know, all these things promise you something whiz-bang overnight. With a life settlement, the whole investment is designed to be in diversified, first of all, be in as many policies as possible, whether it's 5 or 15 or 20, and correct me if I'm saying any of this wrong, and then you do this over time. And so over, you know, several years, you know, you start investing and then you reinvest, and then that matures, and then you reinvest, and then that matures, and then you reinvest. That is how this works. And you've got the numbers to back it up. You've got the longevity to back it up. And so there's no fly-by-night, you know, silliness going on here. And you've done the same thing over and over and over. The only thing that hasn't changed is that the data itself has gotten better.
It has gotten a lot better. We're better at it. The policies are better that we're buying. They're coming due better than they used to. Because when we started out, you know, we believed people. And then we got serious about this and said, look, you know, we want a better company giving us this life expectancy.
Yeah.
When we did that, we've got it down now. We've got better people handling the payments when we send them in, making sure that our payment goes where it should.
Yep. Experience
matters.
So
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, you've been doing this for so long. The systems are in place. It's just one of these things that no matter how the situation goes in the whole world, anybody involved in, say, a life settlement has been thriving when, you know, certain conditions come up and other people may be losing money. And with a life settlement, it is its own thing. It's not dependent on anything else. You don't have these unknown variables that are, you know, flying out there. And maybe, well, if it's cloudy one day, you know, it may not be worth as much. When a policy matures, the insurance companies pay out the full amount. They don't discount anything or say, yeah, maybe not this month. That's not how it works.
Well, and what I like is all the maturities. You know, we've had 4 maturities in the last 2 months, and one of them just went to the bank. And overall, the increase, is about $2 million increase in everybody's account.
Oh, my word.
You know, overall. Because everybody's been having policies that's matured.
Right. Say that again. People have made about $2 million.
Yes.
Wow.
We've had a policy come due. It was $1.5 million.
Oh, my.
We had another one come due that was $1 million. And then there was that little $300,000 one. So a total, people have gotten over $2 million back in the last 2 months.
Golly, that's huge. Wow.
It is. It made a difference. A lot of them had $100,000 in that one policy. Some of them had more. And then in the little policy, people had small amounts, but it still paid off.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I just, you put $2 million in 2 months, and all of a sudden my ears perk up, and I'm like, wait, what? Say that again.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's an attention getter. If people are not necessarily either accredited, or maybe they don't want to do life settlements, or maybe they're at a stage in their life where maybe they just want to kind of, I guess, maybe coast a little bit. Annuities are another option as well. And those are not dependent on...
Annuities have been around over 100 years.
Yeah.
Annuities are safe. Your principal's always safe. It's compound interest. If you've got an IRA that's in an annuity, you don't pay taxes until you take it out on any annuity. But it's nice to have an IRA that you're not taking any money out of, you know, because it's not taxable. It's not a mutual fund. It's, you know, not like a variable annuity. You don't have that risk factor. You've got a stop loss on it. Where if everything goes down, it stops right there. You don't lose any money. It just stands still till it goes back up.
Yeah.
And
then,
you're never directly in the stock market.
No. It mirrors it, like
you
said.
That's the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah. And then, I mean, if people like the excitement of the stock market, if your annuity goes, if the stock market goes up, your annuity goes up. If the stock market pancakes, you still protect your principal and you don't have to wake up the next day or in the middle of the night and wonder if you've got anything left like you would if you're in the actual stock market itself because of that stopgap. So
you're never directly in the stock market. You can have as many beneficiaries as you want. I had somebody pass away, an old client in the Dallas area, and her great-granddaughter called me this week and said, you know, I'm one of the heirs. I just wonder when I can get my money. I said, well, first of all, I'll have to check and see if you were one of the heirs. I said, I'll call you back. And, of course, I called her back, and I said, yes, you are one of the heirs. And I said, they've sent the claim forms out. You've got to sign it, send it back in. Her boyfriend gets on the phone. Well, can we get it sooner? Is there another way to do this?
Oh, my word.
I go, oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
They can't wait to get that cash.
Wow. Wow. And nine times out of ten, when people are like that and can't wait to get that cash, they have plans for it already. They've already got it spent, and it is gone in no time. And so all
that
investment.
Oh, it'll be gone so quick.
Yeah.
I think this group will have spent 60 days.
Wow.
Not the normal 1,400 months.
Yeah.
Because, see, this is a great-granddaughter. This is not the daughter or the granddaughter. This is the great-granddaughter.
Oh, wow.
She's about sixth in line.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know, she's getting a little money out of it.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend can't wait to get it.
Oh, wow. Well, and yeah, you've told stories about that before, and there's some people that will set up, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said that there are people that will set up an annuity so that people can get a certain amount each year so that they don't get the lump sum and they don't go
crazy. That's right,
and
you can put it in there that you want it paid out either monthly or annually. You don't want them to be able to do a lump sum.
Yeah, just to protect themselves, not to be mean. But
you got to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's going to go fast.
Yeah, we are our own worst enemies sometimes. And so
we are. They want those shiny new objects.
Yeah, always.
Like a Ferrari sports car.
a shiny red new object.
That's right. I mean, you know, and they want to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
That's about as far as they can think.
Yeah.
They don't think much past that. But annuities, you can put a large amount of money in an annuity. They've just changed it where you can put $5 million in an annuity without asking a lot of questions.
Really?
Yeah. They've just changed it.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, and life insurance, when people buy life insurance, I mean, there's so many questions. There's so much to answer. And they've streamlined that where you can do $5 million now without all the whistles and all this other.
Seriously? Wow. That's.
And I didn't think I'd ever see that.
Me either. Wow. That's.
And, of course, remember, when you're writing $5 or $10 million life policies, you have to have a lot of assets up to cover that.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Some companies can't qualify to write that big a policy.
Really?
But these companies can.
Interesting. A lot of benefits.
If you're big enough, you can write the big policy. If you're not, you can't.
No.
Because you've got to put up reserves to cover every dime of that life policy.
Yeah, yeah. But still, I mean, either way, you know, we're talking about conservative investments. We're talking about things that survive just about any kind of economic condition that I can ever think of. You've survived everything we've been through in the last, you know, many, many years. And so, I mean, it's just the proof is in the pudding. The numbers don't lie. And so either way,
numbers
life settlements.
Numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
You know, we're managing is about the same amount, about $100 million at all times.
Jeez, wow! So this is not a small little thing here. This is a.
No, it takes a lot of manpower, a lot of accounting, a lot of everything to manage that money, and that's what we try to do.
Yeah, and a lot of experience.
Whether it's a life settlement, you know, I love life settlements because it's someone that's got cancer. They are going to die. It's a matter of when, and what is our profit on it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it 29%, 35%? You know, we bid on a 6-month policy, and you know, they died before we even got it bought. We thought we had it bought, and they passed away. They waited too late to sell their policy.
Yeah, yeah.
And this can happen, you know.
It can.
And sometimes, you know, the husband or the wife disagrees about it.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I know you told some some stories about that as well.
Yeah, we've got that one guy in January.
Yeah.
He wanted to go ahead and get that other $2 million, and his wife just said, no, we're not selling my other policy.
Yeah. Didn't he have some kind of investment or something that he wanted to do?
That's
or?
Right. He had an investment he wanted to do. We don't know what it was.
Yeah. I don't even want to know.
Yeah, I mean, he had something in mind, and he was trying to get her money, and she said no. I'll bet they hadn't been married long. What do you think?
I bet they no longer have anything to do with each other.
Oh. They probably don't. That probably was the last straw.
Yeah, it probably was. So, all right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, actually we're a little later than usual, but around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic
around
today?
This time.
Give or take.
Well, we're going to talk not only about Powell De'Aaron Canyon, we're going to talk about the musical Texas.
Oh.
You know, it's summer. People are going places. They need to go up Amarillo to Canyon and go to the show. The show is going to be going on until August 9th this year.
Wow. Really? Is that later than usual?
Well, I don't remember. It seemed like it was a little later. But it's a wonderful experience. I've been there twice.
Really?
But it started in 1960 when Margaret Harper, she read an article in Reader's Digest about a playwright and an author. He was named Paul Green. He had recreated the history of several regions about the nation in dramas with pageantry and music. Mrs. Harper wrote to him and began corresponding with him and telling him about our land and the people and the beauty of Paldera Canyon. An interest in this prospect of an outdoor theater began to grow. So a small group of people there in Canyon said, you know, we'll put up the money for this. So they funded old Paul Green to come out to Canyon to look at Paldera Canyon, to see what they were talking about, how grand and gorgeous it is. He came out and he said, I'm going to do it. So he dedicated himself to writing the play, Texas.
Wow.
All about the history of the High Plains. And he wrote it all out. So the first thing that happens when you go to see the play, Texas, you're in these beautiful Powder Canyon. You're at the bottom of it. And up there, there's a 600-foot cliff.
Ooh.
On the top. So a lone horseman comes out carrying a flag of the great state of Texas atop this 600-foot cliff.
Wow, cool.
I mean, it is cool. And it's the start of the musical drama. A lot of people go out and they have barbecue before the show. The show doesn't start till, I think, 8 o'clock because you have to wait till it cools off.
Yeah.
But then you've got the swell of the music. The horseman gallops across the rim. Then a cast of 60 people take the stage to kick off the show. And millions and millions of people have been there. This is the 58th year of Texas.
Really?
And it's they're all fictional characters, but they bring to life the struggles and the triumph of all these settlers and all these ranchers in the Texas Panhandle. And this is all the 1800s, remember. And they sing, they dance, a lot of college kids perform, and then just a lot of good actors up there. And outstanding fighting, special effects, they have a lot of fights. And, of course, all this is carved out of this natural basin in the majestic Paldera Canyon.
Wow.
It is the second largest canyon in the United States.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
Well, I would assume second to the Grand Canyon.
That's it. I wondered if you'd say that.
Just
and people
guess.
Before the show, they can tour Paldera Canyon, the park, all this is before, but they'll have a chuck wagon with barbecue there. It's a fabulous deal.
Oh,
the
wow.
show is one of the greatest I've ever seen. So I tell everybody they need to go and see it once in their life, twice if they liked it.
Wow. I'm embarrassed to say that I've never gone to see this before.
Well, you know, a lot of people haven't, but yet people come from all over the world and go see it in Canyon, Texas at Palo Canyon.
Jeez.
So I'm always shocked when people say from Texas they've never seen the show.
Yeah.
It is magnificent.
Yeah. It should be mandatory
for
all.
As I said, I've been twice.
Yeah. And I know how you are. If it was, you know, not that great, you certainly wouldn't have gone back. So that
I wouldn't tell anybody about it either. I went to a few that weren't great, and I just kept my mouth shut. I didn't tell a soul about it.
Wow. And now you've literally broadcasted this one.
That's right, because I loved it. I've loved it all these years. And I think it's a shame that everybody in Texas has not been to see the Texas show.
I just can't.
I mean,
trying to picture how this opens up, you know, 600 feet up, and then he comes out with a big, huge, gigantic flag. I mean, it's just sending goosebumps down my
and it's
arms.
It's this big Indian, beautiful Indian on this horse. I mean,
yes.
You can see it. And there he's got the flag, the Texas flag. That's what gives us such pride is, you know, he's got the Texas flag, and then he takes off across the rim of the canyon with the flag flying in the breeze.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. It sounds like it's so majestic. It starts out with such a bang. It's just like.
It does. It is majestic.
Wow.
And the music starts swelling as he's running. So, and then the cast appears, and they all perform up high. So there's not a bad seat in the place. You're going to see the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, this would be fine in a theater, I guess, but just the atmosphere of actually being there. I don't know that you could pull this off in any other environment.
Not indoors because
no.
you couldn't be running that high and the flag flying like that. Because
yeah.
You've got a breeze out there, so the flag is actually flying, you know, as he's running the horse.
Yeah. I mean, I just.
So it's a lot better than if it was in a dadgum building.
Yeah.
Like if it was over at the college there in Canyon.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the same. It's a great story and all, but it just wouldn't be the same. And so I just. And then, you know, having barbecue beforehand. And I mean, the whole atmosphere is set, like, literally for all of our senses. I just can't even imagine. That's great.
And, you know, it's late in the afternoon. The sun's going down. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's a beautiful sight to see the sun going down, then the Indian, you know, majestically setting up there just as the sun goes down, and then running across the rim.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sight. And then you're going to love, I'll say this, and this year it won't be very good, but it's always been a magnificent story. It tells the story of our ancestors coming to Texas about their struggles, their fights. They had fights, their saloons, fights, the families. You know, it has the mothers, the fathers, the little children. It's a great show.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely
a must. And then this year they've added another show.
Really?
And I don't know whether to recommend it or not. They're going to do Shakespeare. They're going to have a couple of performances of Shakespeare, The Taming of the Shrew.
Really? Oh, wow.
And it's going to be July 14th and July 21st. And I don't know, you know, Texans, if they'll like it as much as they would the other. So that's a second option for them.
Hmm. I mean, the atmosphere itself, just the location, you know, it's almost like you're, how do you say, you're embedded in the story itself because of where you are.
That's right, because you're outdoors, you're right there in the canyon.
Yeah.
So it's very real.
Wow. I'm totally ashamed that I've never gone to see this before. I'm shocked. So it's definitely going on the list. Absolutely a must.
And you know, it's good for them to bring the children, the grandchildren. You know, it's summertime. Get out and view Texas. I'm going to talk about several places this summer that I think everybody ought to go.
Cool. I can't wait for the rest of them either. This is going to be an awesome summer. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Got lots of good information in it.
A few minutes ago, but right before trivia, I threw out some information about a life settlement and how you had to be accredited, and we never talked about what that means. So what is to do?
Oh, I didn't even catch that. I must have been asleep. Yes, you must be accredited to do a life settlement. In order to be accredited, you have to either make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house. And the other thing, if you're not accredited, you can do annuities. You don't have to have that same accreditation.
Yeah. They still, there's some checks. I mean, you can't just walk in with your last 50 bucks.
No, you can't.
You can't do that. But
you can't put every dime you've got in any investment.
Yeah.
Especially an annuity.
Okay.
You have to have emergency money and other money at home.
Risks involved with life settlements?
There's two risks with a life settlement. The biggest risk would be if it goes over and you had to pay premiums. You have to be prepared for that because it's not an exact science. And the other risk is it is not liquid until it matures. Most people know that.
Yeah. But for annuities, we've tried to come up with some risks or some downsides, but we really haven't come up
really
with much.
Not.
Yeah.
And that's the thing on annuities, your interest is locked in every 12 months.
Cool.
It locks in.
I didn't even ask. Are the bonuses still in place for annuities?
Yes. 14% is still available.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. So as you were talking about, a little while ago, to get set up and get going, it's a very straightforward, very easy, simple process. All people really have to do to get started, and even if they don't want to get started right away, say maybe they had some questions and want to get some information, or if they're just ready to go, either way, they do need to call, make an appointment. So one last time, Fay, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.